Yes, we could. Okay. I think that one of the, maybe even the most challenging circumstance interfering with one's acquiring of the midas habitochon, the ability to put one's total confidence and trust in Hashem to the extent that I feel extremely hopeful for the future. I refuse to give up hope at any point, no matter how dismal it seems. And I'm even rising to the level of a certain surety that things are going to work out okay. Concurrent with that, I feel a menuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind. Not worried about anything, no concern, because everything's in the hand of Hashem. Hashem in total control. Complete chesed and rachamim. His track record is stellar. And therefore, I'm at peace. One of the most difficult obstacles in achieving this state of being is the suffering that goes on in the world today. In fact, if you ever get to the point of inspiring a person to think that, yeah, you know, Taka, I'm beginning, I feel it, I'm starting to feel it, I want to feel it, I'm going to feel it, I'm going to work on it, Hashem, chesed, and rachamim, and trust, and confidence, and refusal to give up hope, and yes, and I'm optimistic, and I'm even more than optimistic, I'm sure, and I'm at such peace. But look what goes on in the world. Not only the Shema Goram Hachet, that the Rishonim talk about and say that the only reason that a true Ma'amin, one who totally, completely internalized belief in Hashem, in His existence and in His ultimate power and in His kindness, in His mercy, in His intimate involvement with every aspect of human existence, the only thing that interferes with such a Ma'amin having this total state of confidence and trust and sureness of the future with total menuchas hanefesh is Shema Goram Achet. Maybe I'm not worthy. But when you look at the suffering in the world, that poses even a greater obstacle, it would seem. That, what? Not only is there suffering, not only have great people suffered, but it would seem that the bitochoin didn't have the power to avert and help one beat the suffering that goes on in the world. And so, like, what am I striving for? What's it all about? What's the point of it all? It's beyond reach, and the reach of the suffering goes even beyond the positive relationship that I have with Hashem. And that is very, very unfortunate. And the mission this evening, a very challenging one, is to try to turn that assumption around. Not only not to allow it to interfere with our ability to have bitochon, but to the contrary, to become a source of bitochon. Truth be told, that the Klal Yisrael is a very strange people. And with all due respect, every one of us is also very strange. Every Shabbos, for close to 2,000 years, we gather together Shabbos morning, and we say, or we sing, or we mumble the following words: Mimkoimcho Malkeinu Sofia, from your place on high, reveal yourself. And I guess show us, of course he is the Melech, but show us the Malchus, your Malchus. Ki mechakim anachnu loch. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. What a modern people. 2,000 years almost in Golus, and we're still waiting. And we haven't given up. Mechakim anachnu loch. Mosai tim loich b'tzioin. When? Bikorei b'yomeinu. We've been saying Bikorei b'yomeinu for, I don't know exactly when this particular nusach was written. Maybe it was only 1,000 years, but we're still saying it 2,000 years after the event that put us into Golis, or close to it, we're waiting for it to be eternal, but where do we get that strength to be mechakim anachnu loch? And in fact, for many people, the greatest kasha that they suffer on Yahadus is the length of the golos. Mashiach is to come. The world is to change. The matzav of Klal Yisrael will be turned upside down and elevated, and there'll be shibud malchus. Ein bein olam hazeh le'moyseh Mashiach, elo shibud malchus bilvad. We'll be on top of the world. And we're waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And we're still waiting. And we still say it. And we still think it, and we still believe it. People gave their lives singing Ani Mamin Bemuno Shlemo Bevias HaMoshiach when it was close to over 1900 years that they've still been waiting and that Emuna hasn't been shattered. Very, very interesting phenomenon. A very, very telling praise of who Klal Yisrael is. So it seems that the suffering of the Golos doesn't necessarily have to interrupt or interfere our ability to put our trust to Hashem, to wait for the Yeshua, to refuse to give up hope. And we keep on going and going and going. That could be some people don't realize what they're saying, but, you know, today everything's translated into every language, and we know what we're saying. We know what we're saying. And this is so, we're really very, very an interesting people. What's it all about? What's going on? So I'd like to start from the beginning, not the very beginning of the world, but the seeds of the Churban. The seeds of the Churban, surprisingly, amazingly, begin with as the seeds that were planted into our ability to continue to trust and rely on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, despite the challenges that he has delivered over the past millennia. Very interesting Rashi in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, we know, was written by Shlomo HaMelech as a moshel to the Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moshel is a moshel of a relationship between a chosen and a kala. And the closeness, the estrangement, and the drawing them back together again. And at one point, the chosen says to the kala, "Hosei bi'einayich minegdi, shehem hirivuni. Turn your eyes away from me, because the beauty of your eyes overwhelms me. I'm afraid I'm going to lose myself." The chosen says to the kala, "Please, I'm in danger. It's beyond my control, beyond my ability to control. I can't look at your beauty." Rashi says that this refers to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing Klal Yisrael about the construction of the development of the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? He says like this. He says, in the first Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael had the Oroin, the Kapiris, the Kruvim, and two other spiritual opportunities of great magnitude. And it caused me, Rashi says, Gormu li chibo yesero ad shemo altembi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, it caused me overly abundant, overwhelming, beyond what I should have love of you when I saw you in your full spiritual glory, ad shemo altembi. And therefore, until you rebelled against me, I guess, you know, taking for granted the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dangerous on the part of the recipients. When we take it for granted, so we, you know, after a while, maybe it's too much, it's too overwhelming, or we get too comfortable with it, but there's a chiba yisera which can cause, in some way, a rebelliousness on the part of the recipient. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the Bayis Sheni, you're not going to have the Oron, the Kaperis, and the Kruvim. Why? Because I'm afraid. Listen to this. Nobody has a right to say such a thing except for Chazal. Because I'm afraid that if I see you in your full spiritual glory, that I will again love you, Echiba Yesera, and again you'll rebel against me, and I will be the cause of another destruction. Chazal describes, Rashi describes, Kaviyochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an uncontrollable love for Klal Yisrael. A love to the extent that in the first bias, when I saw you in the fullest spiritual glory, I lost it. Who could say such words? I mean, look inside. It says, I think it's Perikei or Vov. It's right there. You'll find it. And I lost it. I did this. I gave you this Chiba Yisera. It caused you to rebel. That had to bring about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdosh. I can't take a chance in the second bias. And therefore, in the second bias, I'm not going to give you all of this spiritual glory. So I should not lose the control and love you with a Chiba Yisera. And then hopefully that would not, then you would not be forced, so to speak, or caused to rebel against me. So the seeds of destruction, of Churban, of Klal Yisrael, really emanate from the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. And what it does for us is that we have to look. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accused, or accuses himself, Shlomo HaMelech is wrote it B'derech Nevuah, speaks in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is accusing himself of Chibo Yisera for Klal Yisrael, then when we live in Golos, and when we experience Golos, and when we suffer in Golos, we have to know that in the background lurks that intense love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact we are suffering. Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech continues in a number of places in Shir HaShirim and lets us know that even though in the Golos we find ourselves behester ponim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mastir ponov, we can't seem to find him. But what he does is, he's mashgiach min hachaloinois, meitzitz min hacharakim. He supervises us through the windows. I assume it's a one-way window, like they make this in the mechitzas, you know, where he can see in and we can't see him. Meitzitz min acharakim. I don't see any cracks in the walls here. He peeks through the cracks, so when you peek through a crack, the one who's peeking through has a dimension, can see for a while, but we can't see him, like those little peepholes in the door. He's mashkiach min achaloinus, meitzitz min acharakim. Throughout this golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. He's behester upon him because that's what we deserved. Because we were moirid, we were mo'al b'Hashem. And in the Bayis Rishon, there was Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, Shvi Chasdomim, and me'alo me'ever l'kulam was bitl teira, that he was able to be mevater on the agimla averos chamuros, but on the ovam bitl teira, he couldn't be mevater. In the Bayis Sheni, we know it was sinas chinom and loshon hora, and it had, we had no choice. He had no choice. It had to happen. But he's meitzitz min acharakim. He's mashgiach min achaloinus. That intense kaviyochel, uncontrollable love that was behind the whole merit in the first place, it still exists. He's still there. And if we have any doubt, cholila, about the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach min HaChaloinois, Meitzitz min HaCharakim, open up Rabbi Yankov Emden's Sidur in the Hakdoma, and you'll see where he says, Chai Nafshi, I swear by my life that the miracles that have surrounded the survival of the Klal Yisroel throughout the millennia, and the Torah together with Klal Yisroel, are greater than all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Our survival to this day is nothing short of super miraculous. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that we still keep the same mitzvahs. It doesn't make any sense that we study the same Torah, that we all read from the same Sefer Torah this morning. It doesn't even make any sense that we're here today all together. After what we've been through, sociologically, it's an impossibility. It's mind-boggling, the existence of the Klal Yisrael. It's greater composite, the composite of the miracles, are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Rabbi Yankov Emden swears by his life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he's there. He's Mashgiach min HaChaloinos. He's Meitzitz min HaCharakim. His love is still as intense as it ever was, and it's there for us. And he's watching and he's assuring. But he put us in a difficult situation. And to bring the difficulty a little bit closer to home, all of the suffering that we suffer, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, financial, whatever it may be, all of this suffering is a factor of the Golus. In Eretz Yisrael, with the Beis HaMikdosh, with the Shechina, it's a different life. The Goyin writes that every individual, we know about the Nevi'im that were for Klal Yisrael. The Goyin writes that every individual had his own private Novi. Imagine that, if you didn't have to go to your investment advisors or whoever you go to, and you have your private Novi to tell you exactly where to invest, what to invest, when to invest, how to invest, how much to invest, everything, decisions, shiduchim, life decisions, health, anything. It's all there. Raising our children. What if we had a Novi to tell us how we can handle that one? Nevi'im, that was Klal Yisrael. And all the suffering that we have today is all a factor of that Golus. So it's real, it's intense. We live it, we touch it b'chush. But it seems that the system, and again, when we attempt to explain, you know, what Hashem does is hard enough, and why he does it is nigh unto impossible. But what we get, the picture that we get from Chazal, is that when Klal Yisrael rebelled, and especially in the context of a rebellion that was caused by Echiba Yisera, taking that love for granted was the cause of the rebellion, we no longer can be allowed. It can no longer be tolerated to take that love for granted. Because when we take that love for granted, we do not appreciate it. Either it's too overwhelming, or it's too smug and secure, or it's different people have different reactions, or it's all of the above. But that's not a matzav. That's not the way Klal Yisrael can survive and flourish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a step back, sent us out of, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, that we find is a chesed nifla. Chazal tell us that he took out his wrath al eitzim v'avonim. Klal Yisrael should have been destroyed. You were created for a purpose. You had a purpose to serve in this world, to bring the Elokus to the world. And you didn't. You didn't live up to the job. You didn't do your purpose. You didn't fulfill your role. Finished. Your mission is over. Goodbye. We'll choose somebody else to deliver this mission. No. He took out the wrath, so to speak, aleitzim ba'avonim, destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, and Klal Yisrael survived. But the matzav of Golus was exactly the tikkun of the cause of the Golus. Since the cause of the Golus was this Chibo Yisera, then the matzav of Golus is to discover the love of Hashem. Not to take it for granted. Not to assume it as a given. Not to feel so confident and smug with it that I could do whatever I want. Nor not to be also not to be too overwhelmed with it that it just shatters me. But no, I have to discover it. The Goyin gives an amazing moshel where he explains the maila of Purim over the other Moyadei Hashanah. And he says, Purim is a marshal to a melech. He had a son, and the son rebelled. The son acted inappropriately, and the melech had no choice but to cast him out of the palace. The son is wandering in the forest, and, you know, aimlessly, homeless, not having any place to go. You know, he lived that life, and all of a sudden, he's all on his own with no one to turn to and no place to go. And as he's wandering in the forest, some animals surround him and get ready for an attack. And out of nowhere, he sees his father's henchmen come and save him. Further, he wanders again, and some listim mezuyim, these armed robbers, come and they want to attack him and kidnap him and what have you, and they're ready to grab him. And out of nowhere, again, his father's men come out and save him. And this happens again and again. And finally, he wakes up and he says, my father still loves me. And that, the Goyin says, is the Moshel of Purim. Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. The Megillah, on the surface, seems just a sequence of coincidences. One thing happened, another thing, and this just happened. What happened over here, and after this, and Esther was chosen, Vashti with this, and you know the story. We have a couple of months here to Purim, so we can, I can brush up on the story. But we're all familiar. And then we discover Mashkiach min achalonos, Meitzitz min acharachim, discovery. My father loves me. And it seems from that Moshel, from the Goyin, that that discovery, certainly in the matzav of Hester Ponim, when we came from a matzav of Chibo Yaseira, and maybe even, because he compares it to the revealed Yomim Tovim and to Maimon Har Sinai and to the more obvious and blatant miracles, that this is a stronger form of a kinyan, discovery, self-discovery. You know, listening to a lecture, at best, maybe it goes in one ear and out the other. When someone discovers something himself, it's mine. I made a kinyan. It's my discovery. It penetrates to the core of his being because I discovered this on my own. And that's really what the Golus provides us. Golus provides us the opportunity, the endless opportunities of seeing that Hashem is Mashkiach min achalonos, Meitzitz min acharakim. Of discovering the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has for Klal Yisrael. The intimate and individualized tipul that he pays attention to each and every one of us and each and every one of our situations. And Chazal said that he sits all day and he's Mezavik Zivugim. And he's the Roifei Choylim. And he's the Mevorech Hashonim. And he's the Soleach Avoinim. And he's the Bnei Yerushalayim. And he's it. That's it. He's involved with everything that we do, and he takes care of us, and we discover that that love is still there. And it seems that the discovered love, the self-discovered love, the catching him, peeking through the charakim, has the ability to inspire in us that discovery, a deeper kinyan of the realization of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And that can motivate us to change, that can supplant the cause of the Golus and eventually to bring about the Geula. It's still a long wait, it's still a long process, but if we know that how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and how he continues to exhibit, albeit behester ponim, that love throughout the Golus, it gives us the strength to say, Kimecha kim anachnu loch. We're still waiting because we know that he hasn't given up. We know that he hasn't given us up. We know that he's still there for us. And no matter how difficult things are, we still find and we discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another aspect that the Golus provides for us as well. The Gemara says that the Moshe Rabbeinu described Hashem as Okel, HaGodol, HaGibra, VaHaNoira. Then came along when the future generations saw what was going on. Ayei gvur oisecho, ayei noiro oisecho. Who's afraid of him? Look what they do. They come in and they attack us, and it's like sheep to the slaughter. And this, so, until the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila came along and said, hein hein noiro oisecho. This is the Gemara in Yuma. What's the pshat? So the Rashi explains there the contrast. When we see goyim mechalkerin beheichal, what they come and they feel free to do to us to this very day, anything they wish, and still the Klal Yisrael survives. Hein hein noira oisov. That's the pachad from Hashem. That inspires more yirah shemayim than anything else. You want to see the noirois haboirei. You want to be awed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct in this golus. Look at the contrast. Forget what we mentioned, but what Rabbi Yanke Bemtin swore, that the miracles that have allowed for our survival. But look against what opposition. Look against the freedom. Look against the hefkerus. Klal Yisrael has been hefker to do whatever they want to us. And uvechol zois, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is with us. And maybe even as great a miracle is, shimcha lo yishochochnu. We haven't forgotten him. So there is something very powerful in the ability to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the difficulty of Golos that allows us a level of chizuk which can be mechaper, so to speak, on the cause of the Golos, and eventually, hopefully, Be'ezer Hashem Bekorov, bring about its resolution. But it seems it's a long process. Because as a nation, and maybe as individuals too, we're slow to get the full impact of the message. It seems that the koyach of Klal Yisrael to bring the Geula is enormous. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Gemara in Ksubas, where it tells us that we made a shvua, Klal Yisrael made a shvua, not to be yale b'choymo, not to take back Eretz Yisrael and to force the issue of the Geula. Don't force the Geula. Don't force the Geula. Because it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us the power to do it. The Welt zogt, I can't, it's not a text, but that the Arizal in Sfas, when the Mekubolim there were working on bringing Mashiach, this must have been some 500 years ago, when they were 400 years ago, 500 years ago, when they lived in Sfas, and the Arizal was taken away at a very young age. He was in his 30s, he was 33 maybe, or 37, I forgot what. The Arizal's what, tonight? Really? Wow. So it was taken away at a young age, and the Welt zogt that because they could have done it. They could have brought about the Mashiach, and the world wasn't ready. The level of tikkun that was needed, bichlal, to be misakin, that breach in the Klal Yisrael's connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't quite yet achieved. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, had he gone to Eretz Yisrael, could have brought the Geula too. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given in to him had he been mispalel one more time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him after 515 tefillos, Ad kan, because I can't be oikadat gezerah, but you could force me. So there is a power. Despite the distance that we feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a power that we have as a nation and as individuals in the Golos. As a nation, collectively, we demand, Mimkoimcha Malkeinu Sofia. We don't say Mosai Sofia, we say Mosai Timlech Betzion. But first we make a demand, Mimkoimcha Malkeinu Sofia, appear. It's a command, it's a demand. We're waiting. And that's all that need be said. We're waiting. You have to respond to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to respond to Klal Yisrael. In the Loshen, just happened to see it this morning too, of the Meiri in Brocha says that HaBoteach B'Hashem Ein Toicheles Shaloi Nichzavo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, that thing that he hopes for will not be disappointed. Now here we're dealing with a Klal, we're dealing with a massive issue, and it's not just one individual, but it's we have that power. One of the things they're going to ask us in the first few things, when we come to the Olam HaEmes, Tzipisa L'Yeshua. Did you await? Were you Metzape? Did you give up hope? Or were you Metzape? Metzape is a Loshen of Bitochen, is a waiting, is like a hoping, and a Kivoy, and Tzipoy, and Chikoy, and Yichul. Are you awaiting? Were you awaiting? Or did you give up? If you gave up, that's terrible. Because that shows that you don't have that connection and you don't have that trust. And maybe we could say that that shows that the lesson of the Golus, which was to give you an ability to discover the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to discover the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel it yourself, to internalize it on your own, not to be taken for granted and overwhelmed with that Chibo Yisera. You missed the point. You didn't get there. You weren't Metzapel Yeshua. I may have mentioned last time, but it's brought, and someone showed me where it was, and I just don't have the thing in front of me, but that when a person has a tzora and has a bakosha, when he says the words in es tzemach tovet ki lishu oscho ki vinu kol hayoim, he should think of that tzora that he has. It's a tremendous koyach, it's a tremendous schus to be answered for that tzora. Because lishu oscho ki vinu kol hayoim. And this is not stam. This is es tzemach tovet avducho that they were waiting for 2,000 years. And lishu oscho ki vinu. And I would dare say that the word says kol hayoim, not kol yoim. It's not that I'm waiting every day a little bit. I say ani mamin in the morning. But it's kol all day long. I'm enthused, infused with that mechakim lishua, mitzapim lishua. And that has a koyach. And the golus is not a contradiction to that. The golus allows us a unique opportunity to find and to feel and to discover on our own and to reconnect and to turn to Hashem, maybe in desperation, maybe b'les brera, maybe with the realization that we're so bereft of everything that elonu lishoyin el avinu shebashamayim. But we have that ability. It's a beautiful moshel. And I may have mentioned it here. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I heard it from my father-in-law, Zecharino Livrocha. David HaMelech says, Shivtecho u'mishantecho heimo yenachamuni. Your shevet, which is a whip, and your mishenis, which is a cane, a stick that you lean on, are sources of nechoma to me. And the question is, I understand a cane is symbolically represents nechoma, something to lean on, right? Have something to lean on gives me a sense of consolation. A beshevet is a whip. Where in the whip, or where in the pain of the whip on one's back, lies the consolation? So he said, Moshel, David Melch is Mizmor, David Hashem, Roy Elohech. We're talking about a shepherd. He said, Moshel to a shepherd, to a Roy Etzoyim. Flock is out grazing, and he's watching them, and everybody's a beautiful sunny day, everything is fine. Sun's beginning to set, and the shepherd has to gather in his charges and gathers them all in, you know, takes count, and he sees he's missing one. Sets out to search for the lost lamb. And the lamb is also getting a little bit nervous. It's starting to get dark, and he's all alone, and the elements of the day, the night, and all of a sudden, the shepherd spots that little lamb at the distance. And with that shevet, with that whip, cracks it over his back. And the lamb is so relieved that the shepherd hasn't forgotten me. The shepherd has found me. The shepherd is still with me. There is, even in suffering, the ability to discover that Hashem is with us. In fact, I dare say, and this is a bold statement, forgive me, that the extent of our suffering in the context of our loving and kind and merciful God can only say to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something very special to us. It doesn't make any sense otherwise. The extent, the uniqueness, why is it? Well, the Moshe v'lishnina, they never stop talking about us. In the United Nations, that half the deliberations in the Security Council since its inception is all about Israel and the Jews. And the New York Times on the front page, a day probably still, I don't know, most of us don't look at the Times anymore, but a day doesn't pass where Israel and the Jews are not on the front page. Sometimes it really shouldn't be on the front page, but anyway. But, you know, what is it? What's going on here? But it doesn't make any sense. Now, if we didn't know the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, so we would say, no. The Chibo Yesera. He even assumes the guilt himself, Kaviyochol. I'm even allowed to say that. For the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because I loved you, Chibo Yesera, Adshim Altambi. That's the Loshon of Rashi. So, certainly, what is he doing? Why does it make sense? I don't know. But maybe in a general sense, it makes sense in the sense that that's the ultimate opportunity to discover HaKadosh Baruch. Anyone who's had any challenges in life, I'm sure we've all had our fair share of challenges, knows that whatever the level of relationship, whatever the level of awareness, whatever the level of closeness that I had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the challenge set in, is in expanded and enhanced manyfold. B'shas, there's a challenge. B'shas, there's a difficulty. Whether it's a challenge of illness, whether it's a challenge of resolvable or potentially resolvable consequences, or whether it's a tragedy with the finality of a tragedy. But all of this brings one closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in and of it all, we discover, we wake up, there's a reality check. There's a hey, something's going on over here. And the sense that it doesn't make becomes to the open mind and to the sensitive mind and to the mamin and to the one who knows the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisroel and his hashkocha protis and his mevi mashkiach minach haloines meitzitz minach harakim, to such a person that this becomes, he's with me. I don't get it exactly what he's doing. I wish he could be a little bit more open with me and let me know. But as one Chassidish Rebbe once said, when he was asked why Hashem does certain things, and he said, I learned long ago, I don't ask him why, because I'm afraid he might say, well, you want to know why? Come on upstairs, I'll be happy to show you. And I'm not quite ready to go. But this, truly, the gulus and the difficulties that we suffer truly provide an opportunity for us to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm quite certain that I'm pretty sure I mentioned last time, but I think it's important to bring this down to a very personal level as well. David HaMelech, prior to Shlomo HaMelech's writing Shir HaShirim, building the Beis HaMikdosh, David HaMelech had a very difficult life. I don't know if anyone, it's not for us to compare, but had it rough. So much yisurim and so many challenges and so much difficulty and suffering. David HaMelech is hiding in a cave. Shaul is pursuing him. Kuf Mem Beis. Maskila David b'yoysoy b'amorat filo. He's crying out for his life. And then he says, Habet yo minorei ve'ein li makir. Ovad monos mimeni ein doresh l'nafshi. Look to the right. Nobody recognizes me. Ein doresh l'nafshi. Nobody even asks about my well-being. Zvakti elecho Hashem. I turned to you, Hashem. I cried out to you, Hashem. Amarti ato machzi. You are my source of, my place of refuge. And the Radak adds one word, one telling word. He says, Lefikoch zoakti lecho Hashem. David HaMelech, running, hiding in the cave for his life, being pursued by Shaul, his life on the line, turning to Hashem in desperation, says, only because ein li makir ve'ein derish lenafshi. Nobody recognizes me. Nobody even asks about my well-being. I have no one and no place. Nobody's even interested in me. I'm all alone, totally and completely. Not even a little old lady asking about my well-being who couldn't help me anyway. Only then, lefikoch, therefore, that matzav brought me to zo'akti lecho Hashem, omarti ato machzi. Sometimes it's only the extensive desperation. You know, in the Welt they say there's no atheist in the foxhole. That's not for us. We're, Baruch Hashem, way beyond that. But sometimes the extensive desperation, the intense desperation that we feel, is the only thing, lefikoch, that allows me to be zo'akte lecha Hashem, b'leiv sholem, v'amarti ato machsi, to take refuge in HaKadosh Baruch. So in a sense, what we really could say is that the golus, the suffering, the memories that surround us in these days preceding Tisha B'Av, in reality, can and should be transposed into a unique stepping stone to be able to strengthen our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and throughout the millennia could still, and we continue to still say, Ki mechakim anachnu loch, then that has to be, has to give us the ability. We have to look. It's a discovery. It's not going to be flawed. It's not nisim gluyim. It's hester ponim. It's mashkiach min achalunos. It's meitzitz min acharakim. But it's there. Now we can find it. And in the desperation, so to speak, of the golus, and in the difficulty and the challenges that we feel, we have an opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a deeper level, an unprecedented level. And every connection and every Tisha B'Av and every challenge can bring us deeper and deeper. You know, I mean, it's as in a sidebar, I think it's important to note that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an infinite being, relationship with Him is of the stuff of infinity. There's no tangible limit to that. The truth is, most relationships, there's always more room in a relationship for growth. But usually, I think there is. But certainly in the relationship with the infinite being. So as much as I have, I thought I had so much, I got more. I thought I had so much, now there's more. Every day, every hour, every lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim, every challenge, every mini challenge, every little difficulty, every yisurim, the Gemara says, when I put my hand in my pocket and I want to pull out a coin to give it, I have the wrong coin, I don't have it, that's yisurim. And that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki es asher yohav Hashem yoichiach. The one that Hashem loves is the one he's meichiach. And we can find that, we can discover that, and we can make that part of our lives. But it's a process. It takes work. And therefore, I took the liberty, although maybe I underestimated the amount of people that I will have to deprive a couple of you people of this, you know. But I brought with me three pieces that no one's obligated to take, and even if you take it, not obligated to read. But it's not a homework assignment. But three publications that we have, which I think can be very helpful in this process. Again, it's not a momentary event. It's not an awakening. It's a process of development. One is a piece on Shir HaShirim, which is just a collection of some thoughts on Shir HaShirim, describing the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, which is the foundation of any level of bitochen that we may achieve. The second one is something which is a collection of different writings that we published over the years, also in the inyonei bitochen, a little bit the halachic aspects, a little bit the hashkofa, a little bit some stories. It's a whole compilation of a lot of stuff, which I think, again, can help us to develop that. And then, of course, there's the short version. And that is something that this actually became, I think, our most popular publication. I wonder why. And it's 10 thoughts that can help strengthen bitochen. And the focus is more on parnosa than anything else. And if we may be so bold at the end, it's 10 strategies to help survive a financial crisis. You need my advice for that. But anyway, so I have copies here. I hope it'll be for almost enough for almost everyone. And if not, I'd be happy to make additional copies available. And Kodesh Baruch Hu should help. Then in these times, communal difficulty and personal difficulties that undoubtedly so many of us have, that may we discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure you all know there was a very recent discovery, so to speak, this Maisa that happened, I guess when it was last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, with this young woman who was in a coma. And then, I mean, we hear. We have to put our ear literally to the ground sometime to make sure that we're hearing. We have to want to hear. There is out there the ability to be inspired and to be molded and developed in the Midas HaBitochen and to draw strength from everything. And Kodesh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able to find in these times of difficulty the strength to be mitzapeh li Yeshua kol hayoyim, and we should taka bizeicha to ubol etzion goyel.